Welcome to the Classical American Education Podcast with the Copelands.
In season one of the Classical American Education Podcast, we provided an overview of the decades-long attack on America's biblical heritage. In season two, we will be examining the modern era of revolutionary activism more closely. Our nation's educational system, which once promoted the cultivation of godly wisdom and virtue by nourishing the soul on biblical truth, the goodness of God, and the beauty of holiness, now promotes multiple ideologies that are directly in opposition to the Word of God. We are currently living through the most significant radicalization of America's educational system right now. In fact, I believe it is appropriate to use the term America's educational apocalypse. The book of Revelation includes a description of four men, often called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. While the Word of God is clear that these four horsemen are representative of four spirits that will be active in our world in the days immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ, I ask the question today, could it be that there are modern-day equivalents in America's educational system? On today's episode, we will reveal the name of one of the four people that we have given a dubious title, the Four Horsemen of the American Educational Apocalypse. First, allow me to clarify my meaning. We are not saying that the educational system in America is beyond the point of ever being set on a correct path again. When most people hear the term apocalypse, they think about the end of the world. And if we continue down the path that we are currently heading, we may find ourselves with an educational system not capable of being restored. Thankfully, we are not there yet. But we are at a place where our recommendation is for those who believe in the Word of God to remove their children from the public school establishment as soon as possible. It may then be possible, once America has experienced what we might call a third great awakening, to establish once again a public educational system based upon the truths found in the Word of God. And one reason for the recommendation for those with a biblical worldview to immediately remove themselves from our existing public school establishment is the communistic propaganda being promoted by those who claim to be history teachers. This modern-day scourge in our public school system was first introduced to a generation of American students by Howard Zinn, the man that we have dubbed the false prophet of America's past. Howard Zinn may not exactly be a household name, but it most certainly should be. Every parent, pastor, and Christian educator should be well aware of the evil that this man accomplished during the 87 years of his life and the continued influence that his ideas have today, even after his death. He has been called not so much of a scholar or historian, but a brilliant, mesmerizing political activist. And his mark on America is truly remarkable. His most significant work, a book titled A People's History of the United States, was published in the year 1980. Dr. Mary Graber, a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization, who authored a very detailed study of Zinn's work, a 2019 book titled Debunking Howard Zinn, explains that Zinn's A People's History is, quote, more than just another left-wing interpretation of American history. And she notes that, quote, no other history book has taken the place of the Bible and the swearing-in of an elected official. Oklahoma City Council member Jo Beth Heyman chose to use a copy of Zinn's book instead of the Bible when she was sworn into office. And this same councilwoman has come under some heavy criticism recently for comparing police officers who use force in the line of duty to the terrorist Timothy McVeigh, who killed over 150 innocent people. But more than just political theater, this book has had a deep impression upon the way that far too many Americans view our country. Dr. Graber explained, Howard Zinn has succeeded in convincing a generation of Americans that the country Abraham Lincoln called the last best hope on earth is essentially a racist criminal enterprise built on murdering Indians, exploiting slaves, and oppressing the working man. Graber goes on to explain that, quote, what Zinn is selling is the very same communist utopian fantasy that killed more than 100 million human beings in the 20th century. She is not alone in her criticism. Sam Weinberg, a professor of education at Stanford Graduate School and a leading figure in research on historical thinking, called Zinn's work, quote, intellectual fascism. He accused Zinn of using evidence selectively, conflating time periods, misrepresenting sources, using dishonest rhetorical questions, and posing leading questions. Despite this stinging criticism, Zinn's most well-known book has sold over 2 million copies. And when I recently searched for it on Amazon, I discovered that it had over 12,600 ratings, 83% of them with 5 stars. Additionally, the College Board, which is responsible for the SAT and AP classes, promotes Zinn by having his materials as a part of their teacher training seminars. It is a truly remarkable example of the manner in which ideology has triumphed over truth in the modern revolutionary era. In fact, some passages of a people's history were lifted virtually word for word from previous left-wing sources without giving any credit to the previous author. And in case you're wondering, the author he stole from never had any footnotes or sources either, and is considered to have made history up as he went along to suit his own purposes. Perhaps the most damaging evidence against Zinn is his treatment of a historical figure that was once revered in our culture. If you have ever wondered why there is such a hatred for Christopher Columbus and the younger generation today, then look no further than Zinn's A People's History. In a brazen act of intellectual dishonesty, Zinn actually took half of a quote from one day in the diary of Christopher Columbus, then added to the end of it a separate quote from a different day in his diary, all to depict Columbus as a genocidal murderer who desired to kill or enslave all of the native people he encountered. That's why Columbus's statues are being torn down by communist sympathizers. That's why Columbus Day is politically incorrect, but Indigenous Peoples Day is on your online calendar, even if you don't want it there. A man we once understood as a hero turned into a villain using those 3 little dots called ellipses to creatively leave out not just a few words in a sentence, but entire days of the real story. Zinn's unrealistic portrayal of Native Americans is sometimes referred to as Zinn's usable Indian, because he paints a picture of Native people living in a socialistic paradise that is disturbed by the bloodthirsty Europeans. Tell that to the Native Americans themselves, those who saw such evil practices as, quote, children, slaves, and prisoners of war, whose hearts were cut out of them while they were still alive as 5 priests held them down, end quote. Not Catholic priests, mind you, but Native American priests. This behavior was not isolated to North America. When the Aztecs dedicated their great temple in 1487, over 80,000 captured prisoners were slaughtered at the rate of 14 per minute. We once knew about these facts as a people, but then in the 1960s, it became politically expedient for communist sympathizers to twist reality in a way that could be used to tear down this nation. Have you ever heard the claim that the Constitution was written only to maintain the power of a wealthy elite? Do you know anyone who considers Karl Marx the creator of the communist ideology that led to the deaths of 100 million innocent people Do you know anyone that considers him to be a trustworthy authority? It is likely that most people who feel that way have either been directly or indirectly influenced by the false prophet of America's past. He viewed the Civil War not as a successful effort to rid America of the evils of slavery. No, Zinn believed it was a missed opportunity to overthrow capitalism. Zinn said that the actions of Hitler as the leader of Germany during World War II were no worse than what was done by America and her allies. He argued that instead of viewing Japan as the instigator of our involvement in that war by bombing Pearl Harbor, we should view Japan as the victim of American aggression. Zinn brazenly describes America as the most racist nation that has ever existed in the entire history of the world, and points towards none other than the Communist Party as the only solution to that problem. He often quoted the Communist Party line, even suggesting that the key to his ideology being implemented in America was to take advantage of the racial unrest in our culture, exploiting those emotional issues to bring about a socialist communist agenda. He may have passed away before the Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots of 2020, but his ideas certainly have helped to shape those movements. You owe it to your children and grandchildren to examine their backpacks and bookshelves to see if any of his anti-American and anti-God rhetoric is being planted into their young minds. If you want to know why we are closer to a communistic takeover in America than ever before in our nation's history, look no further than this man, Howard Zinn, the false prophet of America's past and the first of our four horsemen of America's educational apocalypse.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of the Classical American Education Podcast. Stay tuned for the Q&A session that will begin shortly. Until then, allow me one moment to tell you some exciting news. To help combat the attempted communist takeover of the American public school classroom, we here at the Classical American Education Podcast are in the process of creating a Bible-based, patriotic, family-style subject bundle. Stay tuned for more details about this important project. Thank you for exposing the evil and irrational ideology of Howard Zinn. It is amazing to think of how many millions, and I mean that literally, millions of American school children that have been exposed to his distortions of the American story. I think that most parents and students are under the impression that if information is contained within a textbook, then it must be true. No one seems to vet the authors of curriculum, but just take that information at face value and assume that it is all factual.
That is a very interesting observation, especially since we are talking about Howard Zinn, the man who once said, quote, "There is no such thing as pure fact, innocent of interpretation."
He was obviously influenced by the postmodern view of reality, which allows for each individual to make up their own mind about what truth is. Would you agree that the worldview that is presented in the classroom is often overlooked as one of the most important aspects of teaching?
Absolutely. And that highlights one of the many problems with the public school system. Parents are typically not familiar with the worldview that the teacher brings into the classroom. However, much can be determined by the materials that the teacher selects to present to students, and it is very easy to discover quite a bit about Howard Zinn. Here are a few additional details that you would want to consider before allowing anyone you know to read anything written by Howard Zinn. He was investigated by the federal government as being a member of the Communist Party. According to the FBI, in an era when that organization was much more trusted by the American public than it is today, Zinn taught a class on Marxism at the Communist Party headquarters in Brooklyn. He served as a delegate to the New York State Communist Party Convention, and he announced to a class that he taught at Spelman College that he did not believe in Jesus Christ, and then sent a memo to the Board of Trustees after he was fired that called the school's religious ceremony, quote, a pompous and empty ritual.
Well, that shouldn't shock our listeners who understand that communism and atheism go hand in hand. Again, all teachers present their worldviews. It's impossible not to. We want America to return to the biblical worldview it was founded upon. The Bible is the main textbook in all fields. Some might argue that since Howard Zinn passed away in 2010, that his work is no longer relevant to what is happening in the modern American classroom. How would you respond?
I would offer two responses to that claim. First, that is the equivalent of saying that Charles Darwin or John Dewey
have no relevance
because of how long ago they lived. The problem with both people is that they left a very harmful legacy that still is actively having a negative impact upon our society at large and certainly in our educational system. The same is true of Howard Zinn. Evil does not always die with its creator, especially when the evil is an idea that catches on in the masses and is inspired by none other than Satan himself. To quote Mary Graber again, she said, Zinn's pervasive influence is a national tragedy, especially considering just how distorted, manipulative, and plain dishonest a people's history is. It's past time to take a close look at Zinn's outrageous claims and outright lies and set the historical record straight, end quote. Unfortunately, that influence only continues to grow due to organizations such as the Zinn Education Project. According to their website, this organization exists to promote and support the teaching of people's history in middle and high school classrooms across the country. They then explain that based on the lens of history highlighted in Howard Zinn's best-selling book, A People's History of the United States, the website offers free, downloadable lessons and articles organized by theme, time period, and reading level. As of 2023, the site boasts a total of over 9 million unique visitors, with over 514,000 lessons downloaded. One teacher shared what we might view as a testimony. He said, quote, the Zinn Education Project is my compass in a sea of corporate textbooks, packaged Common Core curriculum, and standardized testing. My entire curriculum is based on lessons that can be found on the Zinn Education Project.
This is just more evidence that teachers are allowed to pick their own curriculum, of course, if they are following the state standards. Why do you think Teachers Pay Teachers is so popular and profitable for teachers? If you're not familiar with TPT, it's an online store where teachers create and sell curriculum bundles and more, and they're not fact-checked. A lot of times, younger and more inexperienced teachers just purchase bundles from TPT without vetting it, just trusting the sources. So speaking of not vetting textbooks and curriculum, much of the debate concerning Howard Zinn seems to be based upon his view of Christopher Columbus. Jonathan, what can you share about the difference between the story from Zinn and the real story?
As I mentioned previously, Zinn paints a false picture of Columbus by manipulating comments made in his diary to paint the explorer as a man bent on expanding slavery who placed no value on the lives of the natives that he encountered. If you actually read the writing of Columbus, a totally different picture emerges. It is certainly true that one of his goals in sailing to the New World by going west was to obtain large amounts of gold. Contrary to what most people might assume, his ultimate goal was not to make himself rich, but to fund an expedition for Christian soldiers to retake the city of Jerusalem from Muslim invaders. I'm certainly not justifying the atrocities committed by both sides of the Crusades, but it is interesting to note that Columbus was a very religious man. He made decisions about when to sail based on religious holidays, paused in his expedition to observe prayer times, erected large crosses several places where his ships landed, and he's even recorded as telling one of his subordinates this, quote, do the Indians no harm. He then reminded him that the sovereigns, meaning the king and queen of Spain, desired their salvation even more than their goal. One of the main problems that Columbus encountered was that his crew was not always loyal to his instructions. The voyage west to the New World did not attract the best sailors or the most trustworthy people. These are the same men who threatened mutiny shortly before land was sighted because they wanted to turn around and go back. Columbus convinced them to give him 3 more days to see if they would sight land, which they did on that third day. Even when Columbus gave specific orders about how to treat the native peoples, there are times in his absence that atrocities were committed. In fact, Columbus was once captured by his own subordinates and sent back to Spain in chains for trial on bogus charges that were later dropped. To blame Columbus for what those who opposed him did is not logical at all. If you're interested in a more trustworthy source for this story, then one suggestion I would share is History of the United States, written in 1832 by Noah Webster. The unfortunate reality of how a modern hack like Howard Zinn has become more trusted by America's youth than the man who wrote the first American dictionary can be summed up by this quote from the book Debunking Zinn. Quote, Zinn was instrumental in the sea change that has transformed Columbus from the discoverer of America into the genocidal villain whose murder and enslavement of the Indians is the original sin that makes America a crime. Nothing could be further from the truth, and I urge you to remove your children from an institution that invests so much time propagating the lies of a Marxist revolutionary who we have designated as one of the 4 horsemen of America's educational apocalypse. We will share the identity of the 2nd horseman in episode 2.
And you don't want to miss it. If you enjoyed today's episode, share, leave a positive review and a 5-star rating. Email us at classicalamericaned@powg.org with any questions. Until next time, may God bless you as you serve Him in Jesus' name.